people.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Today on Don't You Know, we get to know more about Larry Peterson of Red Wing, Minnesota. Larry is an avid collector of Red Wing stoneware and is quite the historian on the subject. Hi, you're listening to Don't You Know. I'm Terry Tenseth.
I'm Doug Westerman.
And we have Larry Peterson on the phone. Larry Peterson is the owner of Larry's Jugs in Red Wing, Minnesota.
Great name.
Excellent name. And he has basically turned a hobby into a passion and then into his lifelong dream.
Yeah, Larry, I mean, you know, props to you. You were in real estate for so long, and then I assume this has been something that's kind of built up inside of you to your big grand opening that's going to be taking place. And tell the people just kind of a real brief overview of how you got to where you are to open up your own shop, and which is really more your passion than probably real estate, I'm guessing.
That's a great question. I started collecting 44 years ago when my wife and I were in Rochester for a weekend vacation, and we went into an antique store. Visiting antique stores, I was just out of college and was in sales with no fixed income. So I figured visiting antique stores was cheap.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, anyways, in St. Charles, I walked into the basement of this antique store, and I literally fell in love. It was all filled with Red Wing Crocs. So I ran up the stairs, got my wife, brought her down to show her this incredible sight of all these Red Wing Crocs, and I told her I've always been a collector all growing up, from toy soldiers to coins. When I got in college, I didn't have time to collect anything. So I said, this is what I'm going to collect. I know this is what I want to collect. And I happened to marry a non-collector, and I don't know if any of you out there are in that situation, but they see things differently than I do, I found out. And now, you got to understand, this was a dirt basement, okay?
Like a cellar.
And exactly, mm-hmm. With hanging lights coming down, and all the Crocs had about an inch of dirt on them. But I knew how beautiful they were. They were all Red Wing Crocs, and I knew how gorgeous they would be cleaned up. And I still today remember her words. She said, if you think you're going to put those things in our house... you have a problem. And that wasn't quite what she said, but I thought I better clean it up.
Yeah.
And anyways, I knew I had a communication problem at that point, so we sat down and talked, and we compromised, and she said that it was okay to collect. We agreed to collect. I had to keep everything in the basement, and I could only collect Red Wing. So that was my start about 44 years ago. And through that, my passion has stayed always strong in terms of collecting Red Wing. And her passion of being a non-collector has stayed also just as strong. So, I had a huge ego, and I always thought it would just be a matter of weeks when she saw this, that she would fall in love with it like I'd have. But her dream and her love is horses, so she's spending... and her time with horses, and I spent it with Red Wing. Well, that everything was going well. I loved it. We wrote the first book 30-some years ago, and that was Red Wing Stoneware. We followed up a few years later with Red Wing Collectible, and then about a year and a half ago, we came out with the Red Wing Stoneware Encyclopedia, which has worked out. It sold out in the first 6 weeks, and it's in the second printing. And then about 25 years ago, I opened a little shop in Red Wing on Wilkinson Street, called it Larry's Jugs. It was just opened during the summer and during the convention for 2 months. And that worked really, really well. But I always told my wife that the one building I was in love with in real estate, you see it, was this ice house. It was built in 1900 for the Great Western Railroad for an ice house. And I came home last, I was down here last winter and saw it for sale and bought it. So
that's great.
This is our grand opening of our new shop. and it's a 110-year-old ice house with a wall 16 inches.
Can you go over the ice house and what it might look like? I mean, because when a listener hears ice house, they think of ice fishing, and they think about the 7x8 shack filled with beer and stuff.
Yeah, you know, and it's got shiplap sidings.
Okay.
So it's got 2 8-inch walls around the whole perimeter and on the roof. It's about 1,400 square feet, and it was built on the land originally owned by the Minnesota Stoneware Company, which was one of the early Red Wing companies we'll talk about. And then the Red Wing Shoe bought it probably in the 30s and added a second floor to it. I've heard so many cute stories. One of the cutest stories was an old man that came to me. He said, you know, when I was a kid, so they would store ice here from the river,
mm-hmm.
and it would keep all summer. The whole walls were insulated with sawdust, the floor was sawdust, and on top of the ice was sawdust. And this older man said, in the summer, you know, it was 90 degrees, we used to sneak in, take a broom, sweep off all the sawdust on top of the ice, and ice skate.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, but that was their fondest memory as a kid, was coming. And then they would put all the sawdust back on and then leave. But it's a beautiful building, just a lot of character, and the Red Wing and the antiques really show well with its character.
Now, those the Crocs you found the first time in when you're on vacation in Rochester, what specifically were those used for, I should say?
Well, you know, that's really a good question, and a lot of people ask me. The smaller Crocs were used sometimes for butter. They were used to store things in. The larger Crocs were actually called meat Crocs, from probably about 10 gallons and above, where you would store your meat. A lot of people made sauerkraut with the Crocs. A lot of people used it for pickles. Today, the biggest demand I have is for canning and for pickles and for sauerkraut. It seems like we've come full cycle, and now everybody wants the Crocs to use.
And I recall from somewhere that, I mean, some people would actually bury those Crocs when making sauerkraut.
That's
and whatnot.
True.
Have you heard that? Yeah.
Yeah, there's two levels. Some people making sauerkraut would put a plate on it and then a rock on it to make sure it stayed below the water. Well, Red Wing Pottery, Red Wing Stoneware Company, got very wise, and they made actually a cover weight that would fit inside the crock, and that cover weight would keep all the sauerkraut below the water.
Mm.
But it's amazing, if you put sand and carrots in it and put it in a fruit cellar, carrots would stay all winter. So
wow.
The early stoneware was strictly functional. And so I had the cold car filled with Crocs, with big, beautiful wings on them. I had the back seat filled. I had the trunk filled. And to show you my passion, the one mistake I made is I had my wife hold a 2-gallon Croc on the way home.
Oh,
and
no.
I think that was too much. We didn't have any room for it, and I couldn't leave it. And so it was totally filled with Crocs, and that was the beginning.
Okay, so my wife and I were like into Fiesta wear, okay? And so you see Fiesta wear kind of evolve into the year 2011 when they started doing some more, traditional items and things like that. How did these Crocs and things evolve through time that your collection kind of represents?
When we talk about Red Wing, we really are talking about three companies. The earliest company was Red Wing Stoneware, 1877. The second company across the street was Minnesota Stoneware, 1883. And the North Star Stoneware is just down the block. My shop is next to it, 1892.
I had no idea there were three companies. So that's amazing.
Yes. Most people don't understand that. And the early ones were marked Minnesota Stoneware, or North Star, or Red Wing. And then in 1894, they formed a Union Stoneware, which was mainly a marketing tool. And so the three companies were marketing together. Then in 1906, it became Red Wing Union Stoneware. So the Union Stoneware, then in 1936, it became Red Wing Pottery.
Uh-huh.
So they were in business until 1967, which is 90 years. And to answer your question, one of the things that's always really impressed me about Red Wing is they could change with the time. the Crocs and the jugs and the churns and the water coolers were mainly for farms and people out in the country. And as that changed, they then went into kitchenware, which was your pantry jars, your bowls, your pitchers, a lot of kitchenware items. And then when that kind of changed, they went into art pottery. So in the 30s, they had a very large line of art pottery called Rumrail. And that was really popular, and that started the art pottery. So again, they had a change. And then as you're talking about dinnerware, they then changed and went into the dinnerware as the art pottery kind of slowed down as people moved into the cities. One of the unique things about the dinnerware is every piece of it's hand-painted, and that's one of the reasons it's been so collectible today. So the company changed as the market changed and as the people moved into the cities and the need for the stoneware became less and the kitchenware became less.
Wow. I didn't know it had evolved that much, because normally whenever I go antiquing, I either see the Crocs or jugs of some sort. You know, I haven't actually seen a lot of the dinnerware.
Yeah. Most people are very surprised all the things that Red Wing made. I mean, one of the unique pieces when I do some presentations is a Christmas tree stand out of stoneware. Now, who would ever want a stoneware Christmas tree stand when you're pounding the nails into the tree?
Wow.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't seem efficient.
I wouldn't want to tote the bloody thing in and out of the garage.
Exactly. So Red Wing, one of the things I was fascinated with the history of Red Wing is how they were able to continue to change with the times and become very successful and in every case make the best. Now, even in the 1890s, one of the three companies was the largest stoneware makers in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that makes their pottery so great and their stoneware is the clay. When the glaciers melted in Clay Bank, about 10 to 15 minutes from Red Wing, they left the best stoneware clay in the United States. So the clay got shipped in early on with horse and buggies and then by railroad later on. So one of the reasons the quality of Red Wing is so good is they had great clay, and they also had incredible products. A couple of years ago, I was talking to a collector, and I said, how did you get started collecting Red Wing, just like you asked?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, he was making wine, and he bought all these jugs, 5-gallon jugs, and to put his wine in, and over a period of years, he noticed that all the other jugs that he bought that were not Red Wing bleached through.
Oh.
But the Red Wing jugs were always perfect, and he learned what a great product they made. They always made the best product. The earlier stoneware was like Tupperware of today, and yet the earliest glaze was a salt glaze. The salt glaze was made by shoveling salt into the kiln, and the salt would vaporize and create an orange peel effect. And the decoration was done by cobalt, and it was dripped on like a cake decorator.
Hmm.
And some of these decorations, they made birds, they made butterflies, they made flowers, they made leaves. A lot of these decorations is some of the best folk art in the United States. And so you have a functional item that was done with the best quality to create an incredible piece. And the earlier pieces were, of course, all hand-turned, which makes a little bit more interesting also.
Mm-hmm.
What is some of the value on these pieces today?
Well, that's one of the things that has really changed. When I started collecting, nobody really, you know, I was out of college, so it was 50 cents a gallon for a Croc.
You're laughing,
and,
aren't you?
Boy, I wish I could see those days today, but I'm just bought a couple of 40-gallon Crocs, and I'll pay $1,200 for each of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's a 40. A 50-gallon Croc, which is second to the largest, I'll probably, you know, be in the $2,000 range. and a 60-gallon crock is probably close to 3,000.
And then as a passionate collector, do you find it hard to part with things even though you're making a buck or two on them?
You know, I've been collecting over 40 years, and I have an incredible passion of collecting it. I fell in love with it, and I've stayed in love with it all this time. And what happens is, when you only allowed a basement in a city house...
I see.
Yeah.
There's something that's got to give.
I see where this is going.
And,
it's called survival of marriage.
Exactly. And as things got more expensive, I had to sell some of my things to buy the things that I wanted.
Of course.
Now, we had a piece at auction 2 years ago that sold for $65,000.
You gotta be kidding me. What was that?
Good for you guys.
It was a 20-gallon hand-turned jug. It was called a director's jug. There's two of them. It was made for the pottery directors. So good salt glaze with beautiful decorations can be in the $20,000 to $30,000 range.
Wow.
Today.
I had no idea. Value.
I hope none of that money goes into horse feed, my friend.
That has probably kept my wife and horses. So what I turned out to be my passion has probably turned out to be the best investment in my life also.
Sounds that way.
Nothing has done as well as this. The best part of collecting Red Wing are the friends you make. We were down in Walnut, Iowa for a show I started last year, and we had people from Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and came to that area. So collecting is like a treasure hunt every single day. If either of you collect, it is so much fun because you never know what you're going to find,
mm-hmm.
and the relationships you build along the way is what really is the gravy or the great gift that comes out of it. And I always said if I got my money back, it would be the best investment I've ever made. And as turned out, pieces that I bought for very little are now worth $10,000 and $20,000.
So that's incredible.
I think that's true. A lot of people tell me in collecting and antiques that you're lucky you collect Red Wing, because in the last few years, as the economy has changed, not all antiques have held their value as well as Red Wing has.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I need to start collecting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's fun. Today, what's really popular is the dinnerware because of the 50s, and a lot of people are really starting with the dinnerware, and it's all hand-done.
With the decision to open up the new store, is all the inventory your own, or is that from other people? Where is the inventory coming from?
Well, that's a great question. In the past, most of the inventory was my own, and I would take some consignments. I've been blessed because of the books. I knew pretty much all the collectors, and I would buy collections. Last year, I bought a collection in Denver of 700 pieces.
Ugh.
Took me 7 trips to get it here.
Oh, my.
But in addition to that is I do take consignments, and I have cabinets upstairs that I rent out. So the new shop needs to be more grounded with all. It's actually Larry's Jugs Antiques. So we have all types of antiques here. And it creates a much deeper experience for people. Everybody who comes in seems to love the building. With the character of the ice house. I decorated all the walls. I bought a collection of ice. I never can say this, harvesting tools. Tools that were used for cutting ice and for getting it ready for ship.
The long saws and the clamps and whatnot.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, you're good. All those items I've decorated the walls with. And then I have a lot of pictures of them cutting ice on the river. And so I want to keep the history of the ice house because a lot of the people and a lot of the kids never knew about it. And I want a little piece that says, it's a little cardboard piece that says 25 on one side, 50, 75, and 100. And I'll ask some of the kids if they know what it is. And they say, no. And I say, well, that was what you put in the window to tell the person who delivers ice how much ice you want for your icebox, how many pounds of ice you want.
Correct.
Wow.
So ice was really important, and for the railroads, they need it for hauling their perishables and their meat in the railroad cars.
Now, you've done a lot of conventions, right? And you're Wow, yeah. You're like the chair of a lot of different societies that are out there that a lot of our listeners might not know about. Can you inform us a little bit on those?
Sure. In 1977, we had the Red Wing Collector Society started. And over the years, I've been involved with that. And the membership is $25. We have one huge convention in July. And then in February, we have a midwinter in Iowa. You have a chance to buy a convention piece commemorative every single year. And the earlier ones are in the $2,000 range. They sold for like $4 or $5, are now worth a couple of thousand. But the Red Wing Collector Society is a great, great way to start. And if anybody's interested, the telephone number is 800-977-7927. Otherwise, they can just look under www.redwingcollectors.org for information about that. I've always had a dream for a museum, and about 11 years ago, we started the Red Wing Pottery Museum, and we formed a Red Wing Collector Society Foundation. We're a nonprofit, and the museum is located in the second floor of the Pottery Place Mall, which is 2000 West Main Street in Red Wing. And this museum has a complete inventory of Red Wing from the earliest all the way through to the kitchenware, to the art pottery, to the dinnerware. There's the display of shards and pieces that were dug from the dump. And then we have an incredible collection that was given to us from one of the earlier workers that has to do with tools and how a lot of it was made. And that museum is free, and it's open 7 days a week. And we have 1,000 pieces in that museum. We have another collection that we're working with that's in Lincoln, Nebraska, that's 5,000 pieces. So we're moving into a much larger facility, and hopefully the next year, which will give us it'll be an incredible museum. We'll have over 6,000 pieces in that museum.
Wow. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but how many workers did the different companies employ?
That's really a good question. The Red Wing Stonework Company earlier on might have had 30. The Minnesota Stonework Company might have had 40 or 50. And I'm guessing North Star around 25. But as they got larger, 100 people would not be that uncommon working there. So it was really a major industry in Red Wing at the time. I looked at an old history book, and Red Wing Shoes, which is a great company and was in that time, and they just had a little paragraph about Red Wing Shoes, but the Red Wing Stonework Company and Red Wing Pottery, they had about 12 pages on. So it was a major part of the economy in Red Wing. And again, what they always did is they made the best stoneware, the best art pottery, the best dinnerware of everybody. And that's what made it so collectible today.
And when did the company end?
The company ended, unfortunately, in 1967. There was a drawn-out strike during the end of the strike. Unfortunately, never started up again. So it was in business from 1877 till 1967. And then in 10 years later, the Red Wing Collector Society was formed.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And our convention, you know, we've had years that we've had 3,000 people in Red Wing for that convention. So now we're probably down to around 1,700 people in Red Wing for that convention.
Still a good turnout.
Yeah, I've always thought for many years it was always done by volunteers. It's just a really fun group of people. We have auctions. So we have three different auctions. We have a show. We have just about everything you would want, but it's fun. I kind of set my shop up as a area where people can come, hang out, talk. All of my help is volunteers, and it's kind of like a co-op. I want people to come and ask questions, and all the people that are here, is really want them to focus on helping people. When people come to my shop, I try to help them go through, kind of understand the salt glaze, the whiteware, the molded pieces, the hand turn, so they can get appreciation for it. And I think, like you, very few people really understood how many different things they made.
No, totally.
And how good they were at making them.
Incredible. Well, thank you for sharing that history with us.
Larry, great stories.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
Amazing.
And congratulations on your success with this.
Well, I've been incredibly blessed. I've been in real estate over 40 years. I've been collecting over 40 years. We've been married over. So I just have felt incredibly blessed, and all the people involved, and my excitement for Red Wing is just as much today as it was 40-some years ago. So thank both of you very much for letting me share it. I enjoyed it.
Why don't you give us the location of your shop again, so if people are in and around Red Wing, they can stop by and say hi.
Well, that would be great. I was hoping you would ask. It's 1811 Old West Main Street, 1811 Old West Main Street, Red Wing, Minnesota. This is where I can give my plug.
Yes, totally. Go for it.
Okay. We're open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 5. And it's set up. I retired about 2.5 years ago. And instead of doing nothing, I now may go back to work to rest up. But
very good.
We're having so much fun. When my wife and I agreed to go with this building and to expand what we've been doing, our whole basis was to have fun. And during the convention, it's all about having fun, listening to people, helping people, sharing, and good things always seem to come from it.
Thank you, Larry, so much for taking the time for us today.
You're welcome. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
So
thank you, Larry.
You guys did a fantastic job. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great day, okay? Say hi to the wife.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Alrighty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
A big thank you to Larry Peterson for taking time to share with us his passion and the history of Red Wing Stoneware. More information on Larry and Red Wing Stoneware can be found at www.larrysjugs.com. You've been listening to Don't You Know.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.